another reason why it's so important to have a hands-off relationship and to make a commitment to do so with each other as a couple. And ladies, I know you get harped on undressing modestly. But I'd like for you to think about it. That dressing immodestly actually entices lust. Think of it this way. A man does not think like you do. A man is affected by what he sees. You guys aren't. An example of that would be, I referred to it last night a little bit. If I would give you men a Playboy book to look at, and I'd ask you, does it affect you? I think most of you, if you're honest with me, would say, well, yeah, it does. If I would hand that same book to a lady, she'd quite likely throw it at me and say, this is repulsive, this is disgusting. And rightly so. But if you give a lady a romance novel or get her to watch a soap opera, it does the same thing. Now, I tell you, ladies and men, if you see a woman that is dressed suggestively, don't trash yourself. But there are steps to take, and we're going to look at that more in the last session on how to stay free. But I came across a quote that I found, and when I make this quote, I'm not degrading women when I say this, okay? But I think it makes a point. It starts off with saying, dear girls, dressing immodestly is like rolling around in manure. Yes, you will get attention, but mostly from pigs. I'm not calling you men pigs, okay? But you will get attention from immoral men. If you dress suggestively to attract men, those are the type of men you're going to attract. Premarital sexual relationships. That's with, maybe she's your wife now, or anyone else. And I'm going to say this is all too common. There is a list that I go over. It's a list of consequences of premarital sex. This is also from John Regeer's material. The first thing a couple experiences after they get involved is they experience guilt. After the guilt, they start blaming each other. And then they start rejecting each other. There is a lack of sympathy or a lack of care for one another. A lack of respect of one another. Distrust and dishonesty. It leads to a loss of communication, a loss of spiritual interest, financial loss, inability to respond physically in marriage, and a lack of emotional intimacy. This stuff needs to be cleaned up and taken care of. And I wish every couple would do this before they get married. There is times when I have had people tell me that the marriage is done, relationships are done, we're completely done. That's it. My response to them usually is, well, if you came here for consent to go for a divorce. You're at the wrong spot. But I know one thing for sure. This relationship can work. And we're going to make it. We're going to work on it. It might be a lot of hard work, but we can make it work. What God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Now, I also do understand that there are some very abusive situations where one party or the other can be extremely abusive and is not willing to do anything, where sometimes separation is a must for the safety of the person. Next one we have is adultery. That's any sexual activity outside of marriage. It is more than just having sex. Things like this do not just happen. A lot of things happen before the adultery ever takes place. And one thing that I want to mention here is that if you as a couple connect on an emotional heart level, you will never, ever get to that point. You cannot. And if your husband is at work and you're at home, you never have to wonder what your husband is up to if you connect on an emotional heart level. And if you're the husband that's at work and your wife is at home, you don't have to worry about what she's up to. Because when you connect on an emotional heart level, you cannot, nothing can pull that apart. But when that emotional heart level is broken, we can't trust. And there's a lot of things that lead up to adultery long before the adultery happens. Exposing oneself. This is whether they do it to others. And obviously fulfilling lustful passions and thoughts. Peeping Tom. That's looking in windows. Windows, cracks in doors, keyholes, anything. Public bathrooms, all kinds of stuff like that. Sexual harassment. This is when you have sexually harassed someone else. If you've been sexually harassed, that would come into the sexual abuse category. Sexual abuse, and this is referring to if you have abused someone, and I'm going to say here that the abuser needs as much help as the abused. And my heart goes out to both. The next one is rape. And that is sex by force against someone's wishes. But I'm going to tell you today that that can happen in a marriage relationship as well, and it does. And the way that happens is if there's sexual pressure along with anger, the person will always feel raped. And I hear stuff like that over and over. Next one is incest. That's any type of a sexual activity within family, whether it's siblings with each other or parents with children or any type of sexual activity that goes on like that within family. Abortion. Whether you've had one or more, got a woman pregnant who had an abortion, or you did something purposely so a woman loses a child, and we'd like to think that that doesn't happen in Christian circles. It does. Not many of the Amish and Mennonite people end up at abortion clinics, but there are different ways where abortions have taken place and have happened. Whether it's putting medication from the barn into her drink or making her paint with stuff that you know is damaging, and there's a number of things like that that have happened that have caused abortions, and those things do happen among our people. I came across a quote here recently and I thought it worded it very well. Abortion has never been about choice. And that's the whole argument of abortion nowadays. It's choice, the freedom of choice. Abortion has never been about choice. It is about escaping the consequences of your choices by taking all choices away from another human being. And I thought that words it very well. Next one I have here is bestiality. That's any fondling or sexual activity where a person is involved with animals. Prostitution is taking money for sex. Topless and nude bars, which would include topless and nude beaches, campgrounds, and any type of nude activities. I find out sometimes of where some of these places are. And apparently there's a place in the city of London, Ontario, which is not very far away, where they have what they call a nude mud fight, and you can pay so much to get in and watch these nude people throwing mud at each other. There's topless and nude bars and beaches that are fairly close to this area. Cybersex is any sexual activity on the internet. Phone sex, 900 numbers, and there's apparently other numbers as well. This is any type of sexual activity on the phone. Talking with people, and I just want to give you a warning. Apparently, there's two numbers on a touch-tone phone that are often dialed wrong. I guess we're all humans, and we all tend to dial similar. And there's apparently two numbers on the touch-tone phones that I'm told that many people mess up on, and they replace it with another number. So what some of these places have done is they will take a weather station or businesses, they take their phone number and use their phone number, except they change the number. If they have a number in there that often gets dialed wrong, and then replace it with the number that you often replace it with when you dial wrong. So you're thinking you're calling the weather station, and you may end up with this immoral woman at the other end of the line, and she will do everything she possibly can to keep you on the phone. Don't try to figure out. If you have a woman on the other end of the line that's suggestive and you don't feel good about it, hang up right away. Don't spend any time on there. You will save yourself a lot of money in the long run and a lot of soul damage. I'm going to tell you that it is very, very, very addictive. There is people that have spent hundreds and thousands of dollars a month on these phone lines. It will show up on your phone bill. The next one is wife swapping. And that's exactly that, where couples switch partners for the night. And unfortunately, that does happen. Adult stores, sex toys, there's all kinds of stuff out there. One safe thing that can maybe help you, if you see a sign on a store that says adults only, stay out. Look at yourself as a child of God. You're not an adult. You're a child. So it's not for you. Next one is massage parlors, and that's not talking about there's different places where you can go for proper massages. These massage parlors are not, they're definitely immoral, and they are definitely in for the wrong reason, the wrong purposes. And don't ever think you can go there and get a massage, and you're strong, you can handle this. Don't even try it. Next one is cross-dressing. Men wearing women's clothes, and this does happen. Next one is parents bathing with their children. Dad with boys, mom with girls. If you go to swimming ponds, be very respectful and discreet. And I'm going to say, especially little boys, be very, very careful. I hear way too many stories of stuff that happens there. But I'm going to give you an example of dads showering with their boys. Many, many times, and I'm going to have to talk bluntly here because I want to try to make that point. Dad may have good intentions, but we might be late for church. We might be in a hurry to go somewhere. And the boys need to shower before we go. So dad goes into the shower and just kind of runs one boy after the next through as an assembly line. And this is the area where I'm going to be really blunt. Remember, boys go by what they see. At what level are a little boy's eyes when he steps into the shower? And I've worked with people where this has happened, and they struggled and struggled with homosexuality, and they did not know why.